This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents That Guy by Kim Jones, narrated by Samantha Cook and Aaron Shedlock. 1. Never in a million years did I think I'd be running down a sidewalk, bag of steaming dog shit in my hand, with one pissed-off owner and one really fast golden retriever on my heels. People in Chicago take shit way too seriously. What kind of person decided it was a good idea for everyone to make a habit out of picking up a hot dog turd? The park here even provides these little complimentary bags in a dispenser that has a picture of a dog holding a plastic bag in his mouth filled with his own shit. In my small hometown of Mount Olive, Mississippi, nobody cares where your dog craps. If you happen to step in some, you just scrape your foot on the grass until you get most of it off. If you walk in a store and see people sniffing the air saying, "I smell dog shit," it's a natural reaction for everyone to check their shoes. Then it's a courtesy for the victim to say, "It's me," and everyone else nods in acknowledgement and points to the nearest grassy spot around. Right now, home feels like a million miles away. I dodge a parking meter and nearly mow down a woman with a stroller. "Sorry." I hold my hands up and jog backwards as I continue to apologize to the woman. She glares back at me as she squats down by the stroller and unzips the screen to check on her baby. I feel 10 kinds of terrible. Until the little chihuahua cranes its tiny, scarf-swaddled neck toward me. For fuck's sake. Stupid Chicago. Stupid dog. Stupid shit. Stupid Luke Buchanan. It's been years since I acted a fool in Target and had to take an anger management course, but I can still hear the voice of my coach in my head every time I get pissed. "Now, Penelope, it's not anyone's fault but your own that you're in this situation. Let's reflect on your actions that got you here." Yeah, let's do that. Luke Buchanan stole my best friend's heart while she attended a summer internship program here in Chicago. 6 months later, he crushed it when she caught him with his dick in another woman's asshole. She moved back to Mississippi, in with me. And I've had to hear her cry and sniffle and sob and watch her drink all of my damn wine for the past 2 weeks. When she told me Luke had a dog shit phobia, I knew what I had to do. I had to max out my credit card, fly to Chicago on the eve of the biggest damn blizzard the state of Illinois has ever seen, put some dog shit in a bag, set it on fire on Luke's porch, and video him stomping it out. I upload the video, it goes viral, I ruin Luke's life, make my best friend Emily smile. We go to a bar. She retells the story to a guy who's hotter than Luke. They bang in the parking lot. Emily gets over her broken heart, and then she moves the fuck out of my apartment. Simple, right? Wrong. Why? Because it's a struggle to find dog shit in Chicago, Illinois. When I closed in on the huge pile of crap, my arm rolling 6 complimentary plastic bags deep, the owner asked me what I was doing. So I told him, "Look, man, I just really need this dog shit, okay?" I didn't think he would chase me through the city, yet here we are. And there's no damn way any of that is my fault. Stupid anger management. The dog's bark becomes louder. I chance a look over my shoulder and they're close. Too close. I take a quick left at the corner onto an even busier street lined with cars. The direction of the wind hits me head on, and I'm blasted with arctic gusts of air, so damn cold I swear I can feel pneumonia in my lungs. Out of breath, cold, legs burning, chest hurting, I make a bad decision. I yank open the back door of a black limo and dive onto the back seat. No sooner than the door closes behind me, the owner and dog pass the car. I breathe out a sigh of relief. That lasts all of 2 seconds. I'm in someone's car. It's all rich black leather and soft seats, clean carpet and blacked-out windows, fancy decanter filled with amber liquid, tinted partition. Is the driver on the other side? Of course he is. Miss Sims? The voice booms through the speakers and I freeze. Mr. Swagger asks that I drive you back to his apartment once you've finished shopping. Would you like to go there now? Swagger? Mr. Swagger? My eyes move to the intercom, to the door, back. Yes, please. Why did I say that, in that accent? I am not British, or Australian, and I'm not sure which of the two I replied with. I always get them confused.
Very well, miss. We'll be there soon.
The car pulls into traffic, and I have a 3-second freakout. What have I done? I'm so stupid. This car is so warm. I could use a drink. Fuck it. The bag of dog shit hits the floor, and I squat wobble to the bench seat across from me. The decanter is heavy and hard to manage. I wrangle it between my legs and pull hard on the cork. When the suction gives way, my hand flies back and smacks me in the face. Son of a bitch! I clear my throat. Son of a bitch! I repeat, in accent. The whiskey is so strong it singes my nose hairs when I take a big sniff. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I pour a glass anyway, or a finger, whatever they call it. I contemplate adding ice, unsure of how this is supposed to be served. I wish they had beer. This gasoline they call liquor burns all the way to my toes, but it has a nice smoky flavor that lingers on my tongue. Anxious for the next sip, I finish off the glass, and by the time it's empty, I feel warm all over, and a little more confident in the bad decisions that placed me here. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I rode in a car. There's no law against catching a ride to escape the blistering cold. If I get caught, I'll just frown and tell them I'm poor. That's not a lie. I am poor. Which is another reason I made this trip, though I'll never admit that to Emily. In addition to my seek-and-destroy plan, I'm hoping to find my perfect muse so I can finally write that sexy, cliché romance I've been attempting for months. The kind of romance with the hero who I refer to as that guy. You know, the super-rich, powerful CEO who is beyond sexy, lives in a penthouse, is wicked in bed, has a driver, a big cock, is kind of an asshole, but really he's not because he harbors some major secret that you find out at 65%, which explains all his past demons that reveal why he is the way he is, therefore completely redeeming himself and making all the readers who hated to love him swoon. The car stops.
Miss Sims?
It's the intercom voice again.
Would you like me to walk you up?
No, that won't be necessary. Why do I keep using that accent?
If you don't feel comfortable with the concierge.
The concierge is fine, thank you. On cue, the door opens and a gloved hand reaches inside. I take the offered hand, grab my bag of shit, and exit the car. The sudden blast of strong winds causes my eyes to water. My fingers squeeze, and I cast a side glance to the man next to me. He offers me a polite smile and a nod. I look up, up, up at the massive building, then back at him. What kind of apartment has a concierge? My voice carries away in the wind as he pulls me into the lobby. I stop just inside the door and stare. The snow and ice on my ruined Uggs melts into the dark rug as I take in everything. Mouth hung open like an idiot, I scan the entry and all its opulence. Soft, cream-colored furniture arranged in a semicircle faces a gray stone fireplace that stretches all the way to the top of the high ceilings. The orange and red flames inside the hearth dance and sway to the faint sounds of classical music that plays throughout the room. I want to stick my hands and frozen ass to the fire, then sprawl out like a cat on the thick rug in front of it. "This way, Miss Sims." I follow the man through the room. My boots squeak against the marble floors and leave a trail of dirty water in their wake. I twist my head up and around. Everything is gold and glass, accented with hints of yellows and grays. From vases to hanging lights, sculptures and paintings, the place radiates a magnificence far fancier than anything this small-town girl has ever seen. "If you need anything at all, don't hesitate to ring me." Alfred, I shit you not, that's what his name tag reads, comes to a stop in front of a massive elevator door. The solid, flat black color is a stark contrast to the other four elevator doors that are mirrored glass tinted in gold. As he slides a card through the little back box next to the door with a big P over it, I chance a look into one of the mirrors. My curly brown hair sticks out all over my head like broken twigs and falls over my shoulders to the middle of my back. My all-weather jacket that's appropriate in Mississippi is nothing more than a raincoat in Chicago, and my once fashionable skinny jeans are now soggy and sag heavily on my hips. Stretched out from being worn so long, one might think a covey of quails just flew out of the ass of my pants. The elevator door glides open, and Alfred gestures with his hand for me to enter. I snap back to reality. "Alfred." I reach out and grab his arm. The corners of his mouth dip to a frown, and his eyes widen. "I have a confession to make." He pats my hand and his anxiety disappears, replaced with a warm smile.
"Say no more. I already know."
"You do?"
"Of course, and don't worry, Miss Sims."
He leans in and drops his voice to a whisper.
"Your secret is safe with me."
He straightens and winks at me.
"Mr. Swagger won't be back until noon tomorrow. You'll have the place to yourself. Enjoy it."
Is it possible that this man knows I'm not Miss Sims? Does he often let strangers invade this man's home without question? What kind of person is this Alfred? I step inside the elevator. The doors close and I skyrocket to the top of the building so fast, I have to reach out and hold on to the railing for support. I hate elevators. There's something terrifying about being in an enclosed space, dangling above the ground in a heavy metal box, suspended in the air by nothing but wires and pulleys and... what if the power goes out? My nose finds the wall. I close my eyes and hold on tight, humming my favorite song to keep from passing out. Finally, there's a telltale ding, and the doors are opened. I step out into a small hall with a table decorated with the biggest damn vase of flowers I've ever seen. A solid wood door with a sleek, golden handle stands beyond the table. Without the pressure of a driver or a concierge or a man and his dog, I have the time to stop and think about this shit. If I open that door, I could go to jail. And though I know jail is a possibility in the event Luke Duchanan catches me on his property, trespassing won't be near as serious of an offense as breaking and entering. I call Emily.
"Yeah?"
Damn, she sounds awful. "Hey, Em, how you holding up?" She sniffs a couple times, and I hear what might be a laptop closing.
"Luke just posted a picture of him and his new slut on Facebook."
"Yeah? Well, she's ugly."
"No, she's not."
"Want me to punch her in the face? Make her ugly?" Emily sighs, then blows her nose.
"No, they're on a date. Looks like our prank isn't going to work. They'll probably be out all night.
Her voice cracks on the last word.
I can still do it tomorrow.
The hopeful hint in my tone does nothing to ease her. She wants me to abort, to come home so we can drink wine and eat chocolate. But I can't leave. My curiosity demands I find out what's on the other side of the door. Research demands it. The good Lord does too. My eyes zone in on the golden handle of the door. It shimmers like an angel's halo. Things like this don't happen without help from a man like God. Maybe this is his plan for me. Maybe that dog was in that park for a reason. Maybe the owner was an angel who chased me to the very place I needed to be. That car? It wasn't waiting for Miss Sims. It was waiting for me. Alfred? He may be an angel too. What if Mr. Swagger is my that guy? Now I understand. I've been divinely favored. I'd explain this to Emily, but she just wouldn't get it. She'd tell me I needed to stop allowing my imagination to take over. Why did I even call her? She's way too emotional to be of any help. My mind is made up. I gotta go, Em. I'm at my room.
You have a room? When did you do that? Why? How?
I roll my eyes at her questions. Emily likes to stick to a plan. She's one of those people who keep a calendar. She never strays from it. If Jesus shows up on the same Thursday as her dentist appointment, I have no doubt she'll tell him he has to wait. Sorry, Jesus, you're not on the calendar. I don't own a calendar. My plans change depending on the conditions. I'm supposed to wait out my flight in a crowded airport. Fate has decided that I stay in a luxurious apartment instead. The circumstances have been altered in my favor, and I refuse to ignore them and deny myself this opportunity.
Penelope.
What?
You can't afford a room.
Sure I can.
How?
I called and got a credit increase on my card.
A lie.
But the truth will bring questions I don't want to answer, which will turn into more lies.
But how?
Don't question the unexplainable, Em. Just go with it, okay? I have to check in now. I'll call you tomorrow. Fuck Luke Duchanan.
There's a pause before she releases a breath.
Fuck Luke Duchanan.
I end the call. Put my hand on the door.
Offer up a quick prayer of thank you, an apology for all the bad things I've done, and a promise to not curse as much in the future to show my appreciation for what I'm about to receive. Then I turn the handle and walk inside. Holy motherfucking shit. 2. I'd like to go on record and say that I lied. But really, what did God expect? I'm standing inside the minds of millions of readers. This place is the penthouse of every rich hero in every romance novel. Open floor plan, floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking downtown Chicago, hardwood floors, spiraling staircase with glass rails. Artsy shit hanging from the ceiling that I'm pretty sure is just a fire hose that's been sprayed with gold paint. I toss my jacket to the floor and kick off my boots and pants. Wearing nothing but a sweater, I pad further into the room. My hand slides along the back of the white, leather couch, dips to touch the mahogany table beside it, then flattens against the curved glass that stretches the length and width of the entire wall. It's warm to touch, not cold, as I thought it would be. The view. OMG, the view. Lights twinkle and blaze against the backdrop of a clear black sky. Buildings staggered in height and lit in an array of colors loom high over the streets dotted with the smaller lights of moving cars. It's almost overwhelming. The idea of waking up to this in the morning. Watching as the sun rises behind the buildings.
This is so worth going to jail for. If the rest of this place is as miraculous as the view, I might have to stay until Mr. Swagger gets home. Then I'll make him fall in love with me. Shouldn't take long. I'm a good catch. I toss my bag of shit on the bar and open the massive, stainless steel refrigerator. It's stocked with the type of groceries that can only come from one of those fancy Whole Foods stores. Both doors opened wide, I snap a picture. I close them and get a few more pictures of the kitchen and all its state-of-the-art appliance glory. Then I take a picture of the view, the living room, long glass dining table. Yeah, baby. I drop to one knee for a different angle. That's the one. Smile for the camera. To the right of the kitchen, there's a small bathroom that really could be a little more elaborate, but it's nice enough. Another door off the living room leads to an office. I recognize the aroma of spice and the hint of eucalyptus. Mr. Swagger smokes cigars. Visions of my, that guy sitting behind his desk, wearing nothing but a cigar and a smile, causes desire to pulse through me. I want to dry hump his chair and rub my vagina on the walls to mark my territory. Chill, pervert. My eyes drift to the tall shelves lined with endless books that stand on either side of the door. A massive wooden desk sits across on the other side of the room, facing the entrance. I take a seat in the thick, leather chair. I spin until I'm dizzy, then check all the drawers. They're locked. No computer, no stationery, no personalized pens. I lift the big, gray rock on the corner of the desk that I guess is a paperweight. I touch the lamp and it lights up. I touch it again and it brightens. Six touches later, it starts to dim. Then I have to touch it eight more times just to turn the damn thing off. The only other item on the desk is a sleek black phone with no cords that must be from the future. I take a picture. Upstairs, there's a guest room with more of the same fancy decor shit. I roll across the bed that's probably never been slept in, messing up the pillows as I do. My elbow bangs on the light gray nightstand that matches the other furniture in the room. It hurts like a bitch. I trail my finger across the soft, white curtains on the wall opposite the bed. Behind them is another view of downtown. It's a different part of the city, but is still just as pretty as the view from the living room. Back in the hall, I pass a door bigger than the rest with a small keypad next to it. I squeal when I try the handle and find it locked. OMG. It's a sex room. I just know it. Filled with all sorts of torture devices and spanking benches. Walls the color of red. Shackles and crosses and nipple clamps. Oh my. I skip to the last door and nearly piss myself. It's the master bedroom. Or suite, whatever. It's the epitome of a CEO's bedroom. King-sized bed. Navy, silver, and wood accents. Another view. An oversized chair and ottoman where that guy sits and reads the paper, puts his shoes on, or cradles a sub after he spanks the shit out of her. There's a walk-in closet lined with CEO suits. I sniff them. Drawers of ties and watches and folded socks and white button-downs and boxer briefs. I touch them all. Shoes that I can see my reflection in. I smudge them with my fingers. Ray Donovan, meet Christian Grey. I take a selfie with all the cool shit in the background. I'll put it on Instagram later. Hashtag guess where I am. Nothing can compare to the master bath. Of course, there's a shower that will easily accommodate 20 people, a massive jacuzzi tub, a towel warmer, double vanity, linen closet big enough to sleep in. But no one ever talks about the toilet. Ever. And this toilet? It's a toilet fit for a king. Not only does it sit at just the perfect height, but it's in a small nook all to itself with a door for privacy. There's a magazine rack, an iPad, the fanciest damn toilet paper holder I've ever seen. And if you close the door,
There's a TV behind it. A TV. A damn TV. In the bathroom. The damn bathroom. I spend the next 2 hours of my life in the bathroom. First on the awesome toilet that comes equipped with a censored courtesy flush. Then in the shower. Then a long, hot soak in the jacuzzi. Every once in a while, my nerves get the better of me, and reality infiltrates my mind with stupid questions. What if the real Miss Sims shows up? What if Mr. Swagger comes home early? With each worrisome thought, I find something new to distract me. Like the button on the side of the tub that illuminates a touchscreen which allows me to control the temperature of the water, the lighting, the music, and the pulse of the jets. I let the sweet, instrumental music take me away, and the jets lull me nearly to sleep until I'm like a raisin. Then I get out, put on a little Maroon 5, grab a towel from the warming rack, almost die from a heat stroke, lie down on the floor in the hallway to cool off because the tile in the bathroom is heated, and then I saunter naked into the closet and pick out one of the white, button-down shirts that is 1,000,000% cotton and feels like clouds on my skin. Sugar plays. My jam. I jump on the bed like it's a trampoline, fall flat on my back and look up. I wonder if this is what Miss Sims would do. She obviously doesn't live here. Or if she does, she doesn't dress here. Unless her room is the locked room. What if she comes home? Don't think like that. She will not come home. This is God's plan. He will not let her come home. But what if Mr. Swagger isn't the Mr. Swagger whose babies I want to have? He might be 90, that shit crazy, and smell like mothballs, which I highly doubt considering his clothes smell like the richest, most wonderful scent of clean with just a hint of the kind of cologne you can't even get at Macy's. He's not old. He can't be. Remember, this is God's plan. I trust God. Really, I do. But I search the apartment for a picture of Mr. Swagger anyway. Just to be sure. After digging through every drawer and looking in every room, minus the locked one, I come up empty-handed. In the office, I use the phone and hit the button labeled concierge, and Alfred picks up on the second ring. How can I help you, Miss Sims? Y'all got a restaurant here that's open?
No, miss. We don't have a restaurant on site, but I can certainly refer you to one in the area.
Well, I don't really feel like going out, and it seems the only restaurants in this part of town are really expensive. What kind of apartment has a concierge but not a restaurant? I flip my hair over my shoulder. This place is so cheap.
No worries there, Miss Sims. I can assure you there's not a place in the city that I can't order from. Whatever you want is available.
Wow, Mr. Swagger has the hookup, which means as his guest, I do too.
Might I suggest Alinea? They have the finest salmon and terrine Chicago has to offer.
What the fuck is terrine? Well, I had that at lunch. You know any good pizza places?
Of course, Miss Sims. I can hear his smile. Tell me what type of pizza you prefer, and I'll give you my opinion of the best.
Yeah, I just like pepperoni with lots of cheese, and lots of pepperoni, and Dr. Pepper.
Very well, miss. I'll put the order in right away, and will ring you before I come up.
I hang up with Alfred, take a spin in the chair, stumble into the living room, and curl up on the couch with the big, fluffy blanket that's draped across the ottoman. A scary movie seems fitting, but I can't figure out how to turn this damn TV on. I'm still struggling with it when Alfred arrives with my pizza. He turns on the TV, shows me how to dim the lights, and even offers to get me a glass from the kitchen for my drink. Then he leaves with his signature instruction for me to call him if I need anything. That damn Alfred. Such a nice guy. If I ever decide to write one of those age play stories with the hot, older man who plays daddy to the chick in her 20s, I'll use him for my muse. It only takes me an hour to figure out it is not a good idea to watch a scary movie in a place that has floor-to-ceiling windows with no blinds or curtains. Every few minutes, I look over my shoulder and have a mini freakout, thinking the creepy bitch from the movie is staring back at me. Then I realize it's only my reflection, not some grotesque woman who could use a shower and some leave-in conditioner. I settle back into the couch that looks like something from the Star Trek Enterprise, but is actually quite comfy. I throw my leg over the back of it and pull the blanket up to my chin, ready to cover my eyes the next time something or someone in the movie jumps out of a dark hallway. I'm fully prepared to have the shit scared out of me, but I'm not at all prepared for the voice I hear on the other side of the door, or the soft click of the lock as it opens. You know that moment when terror seizes you? When your stomach drops and your heart stops, and you hear a faint whistling deep in your ear because you're straining so hard to figure out just what the noise that has you so terrorized actually is? That's where I am. What the... I can't be any more afraid than I am in this moment. Perhaps because of that, my brain takes on a survival mode and focuses on something other than my fear, like the deep tenor of the booming voice radiating around me. Then a light comes on, temporarily blinding me, and after I blink through the shock, my brain begins to process the person that voice belongs to. And holy mother of fuck, it's him. That guy. 3. I could tell you the sight of him has my nipples tightening, thighs clenching, heart shattering, pussy watering. But there's no need, because when you see this guy, you're going to experience all of that shit yourself. Cue walkout music, maybe something by The Weeknd, or the theme song from Jaws. Standing 6'2", weighing in at 230 pounds, wearing an Armani suit, and a look that would kill me dead if it was lethal, I give you... shit. Are you Mr. Swagger? His hands move to his hips.
Yes, I'm Jake Swagger. Who the fuck are you, and what the hell are you doing in my house?
One sec. I hold my finger up and fall back against the couch, breathless. Jake. Jake Swagger. It just doesn't get much sexier than that.
What?
Oh, man, he's even sexy when he's confused. I just need a minute for my head. It's a writer thing. You wouldn't understand. I disregard his incredulity. I overlook his anger. I completely ignore reason. How can I not in a moment like this? Before me stands a man with messy, charcoal-colored hair. You know, the kind he runs his fingers through? The kind you fists your hands in when he has his mouth suctioned to your vagina. His jaw has all those masculine features that authors use words like chiseled, strong, square, dusted in hair as if he hasn't shaved in a day, to describe. Lips ripped straight from Tom Hardy's mouth. A nose that can't be defined because... who the fuck knows how to describe a sexy nose? And those eyes? Blue like the ocean. Maybe. I can't see them from here. And they're narrowed in curiosity? Lust? Probably anger. My gaze moves south, over the small dimple in the center of his chin, down his Adam's apple that bulges slightly when he swallows. Lower to the little bit of chest visible from the opening at the collar of his white shirt. The dark suit jacket hugs his long arms. I follow it from his shoulder to his wrists. Son of a bitch, he's wearing cufflinks. And a belt. Hard, flat stomach above it. Outline of a big cock below it. Long legs, hard thighs, shiny shoes. You get the picture. But in case you didn't, Jake Swagger is really fucking hot. And super fucking pissed.
Who the fuck are you?
I shake away my stupidity and scramble to get up. The half-empty pizza box slides from my lap to the floor. It lands right side up, next to my dirty napkins and the 2-liter Dr. Pepper bottle. I stand in front of him, and a shiver of fear snakes up my spine from the silent anger he emits. I want to disappear back into my writer brain, run away from reality, and build a perfect, fictional world where he is my that guy, and I am his heroine. But there is no escape from his scrutiny. Dressed in nothing but his shirt, he has a full view of my legs, my collarbone, the top swell of my breasts. And Jake Swagger doesn't just flick his eyes over my body. He drags them heatedly over every inch bared to him. He might be angry, but there is no mistaking that he is a man who likes what he sees. As he should. I've been killing myself at the gym. It's about damn time somebody notices. And who better to notice than my that guy? His attention settles on my face. Do I know you? He tries to place me, like maybe he's seen me before. There's only one reasonable explanation to that. You probably know me from Saving Forever. It's a book I wrote years ago. I'm kind of a big deal author. I mean, I haven't written anything in a while, but I still have fans and a bunch of followers on social media. I did a podcast once, back in like 2014.
No, I don't know you. Is that my shirt?
I frown down at the pizza sauce on his shirt. I lick my finger, then scrub at the stain. Damn scary movie, making me drop shit. While I'm scrubbing away, that guy turns on his heels and disappears up the stairs without a word. I glance at the wide-open front door. It would be a good time for me to bolt. But I really want to sniff him and see if I can put a name to his scent. I've come this far in my research. No point in quitting now. Besides, if he really is that guy, he'll feel sorry for me and will fall madly in love before he has a chance to know everything I've done. I'm folding the blanket and throwing it over the back of the couch when he comes back down the stairs.
You went through my house?
What? I snort laugh, something I always do when I need to kill time to try and think of an answer. No. I twist my fingers in the hem of my shirt and avoid eye contact. I mean, not really. Hey. I tilt my head to the side and meet his gaze. What's really behind that locked door? Are you a dominant? He doesn't admit it, but when he straightens to full height and his hands fall from his hips and fist at his side, I know. And I swoon.
How did you get in here?
He doesn't ask. He says it in a way that lets me know that he'll strangle me to death if I don't tell him. Well, it started when I accidentally got into the wrong car.
Motherfucker!
He explodes and I stand in silence as he picks up his phone. He shouts to someone to get up here now, hangs up and dials someone else. It must go to voicemail because he tells that person to call him back. He places his phone in his pocket and his eyes land on the bag. The one I left on the counter. He starts to pick it up. I wouldn't... He gives me that shut the hell up glance. I think his eyes are more of a dark gray. Or green. I should get closer. Or keep my distance considering he's holding the bag now. Putting it close to his face. Sniffing it.
Is this...
It's dog shit. He drops the bag as if it's poison. He composes himself, clears his throat, and wipes his hands on a towel he retrieves from a drawer.
Is there a reason you have a bag of dog shit on my bar? The bar where I fucking eat?
Wow, I breathe, shaking my head back and forth in awe. You have a really nice voice, so controlled and deep. You should be a narrator.
Why the fuck would you put a bag of shit on my bar? Are you out of your goddamn head?
So much for controlled. Dude, I hold my hands up. It's just dog shit. You don't have to be such an asshole. Some people would run through the streets of Chicago during a blizzard for that very bag of dog shit. He might explode again. You know how in romance novels, the heroine always just knows the hero would never hurt her? Like she can sense it about him or something? I'm looking for that in him. Not real sure I'm finding it. The door opens and we both turn to find a middle-aged man dressed in a suit and a hat like those limo drivers wear.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Swagger.
Mr. Swagger. That name really does fit him. He points a long, manicured, possibly skilled, finger at me.
Ross, who the fuck is she?
Ross looks at me, then back at Mr. Swagger.
Miss Sims, sir? Do you really think this country bumpkin hillbilly hit could be Miss Sims? She doesn't look like Miss Sims. She doesn't sound like Miss Sims.
I might take offense at his attempt to sound like a country bumpkin hillbilly hick if it wasn't so damn funny, or if I didn't have the pressing need to defend Ross, who I now know is the driver. He didn't see me, and I used an accent. They both look at me. I mean, the chances of that actually being her accent are like crazy. I'm not even that good at it. I don't know if I'm Australian or English. By the way, who is Miss Sims? Do y'all really call her Miss Sims? Like she doesn't have another name? They're staring at me like I'm crazy when Alfred walks in.
Mr. Swagger, I can assure you this was just a terrible mix-up.
Alfred cuts his eyes at me. The disappointment there has me feeling real guilt for the first time since I got here.
I've never seen Miss Sims.
What the hell? Does nobody know what this lady looks like?
When the car arrived, I just assumed the lady inside was her. And she tried to...
I tried to get him to give me the key, but he wouldn't. I cut in. If my assumptions about Jake being that guy are accurate, then he's the kind of asshole who will fire Alfred. Of course, he'll rehire him once he discovers he was wrong and Alfred was just doing his job. But I'd hate for the old man to be out of work while Jake comes to his senses.
Get out of my house, both of you.
The men shoot me a cold look, like they're mad at me, the one who just saved their asses. I should leave too, but I need that bag of dog shit lying at Jake's feet. I move to get it, and he halts me with a lift of his finger.
Not you. You're not leaving until I know exactly what happened.
Okay, first, you have got to stop talking in that tone. I mean, it really just...
Talk!
He barks. I viscerally jerk at his tone. Fine. Okay. So, my best friend was doing a summer internship here. She met this guy, and they dated all summer, and when the internship was over, she moved back home, but they did that long-distance thing. But we both know that never works out. I pause for him to maybe agree or something. He doesn't. I clear my throat. She came to visit him and found out he was cheating on her with a chick he'd had here in Chicago the whole time they were dating. So, because I'm a good friend, I came here to avenge her broken heart. I point at the bag on the floor. I stole that dog shit so I could light it on fire on his doorstep. See, he has this really weird dog shit phobia. Anyway, I was chased through the city by the dog and his owner. And when I rounded a corner and saw a car sitting there waiting, I jumped in to hide. I was going to get out, but then Ross offered a ride to this mysterious Miss Sims that no one has ever seen, and I accepted, needing to get as far away from the deranged man and his dog as possible. When I got here, I was going to leave, but I'm writing a book about a millionaire CEO who has an apartment like this. I've been dying to find my muse and just... Look at this place. I mean, have you seen these windows? I point at the windows, and Jake Swagger just stares at me with the look. You know the one. Okay. Yeah, so you've seen them. Anyway, can you blame a girl for staying here to do research? Didn't think so, especially since I was going to be gone before you got home, which was supposed to be tomorrow at noon.
But you came home early. So, I feel like if all of this is anyone's fault, it's yours, Mr. Swagger. He stares at me, a little dumbfounded, I think. I'm not good at reading emotions, but his jaw twitches, and his neck is red. This little vein in his forehead appears above his right eye. Okay, maybe that's not surprise. Maybe that's rage.
Get out.
How strange is it that his voice is so very calm when he is literally shaking with anger? Or lust? Nope, it's anger. You know, I'd be happy to stay for dinner, I offer, even though it's 3 in the morning. His body stiffens. He gapes at me as if I'm mad. I'm not, really. I'm just an opportunist. Speaking of opportunity, I've managed to casually take a few steps closer to him in hopes of catching the color of his eyes. Now that I'm only a few feet away, I can see that his eyes are a gray-blue-green.
You're lucky I'm not calling the police.
I quietly listen to his rant while I breathe deep to catch his scent. They make it sound so easy in the books. They lie. From 2 feet away, I can't smell a damn thing. I take a step closer. He takes a step back.
What are you doing?
I kinda want to tell you, but sorta don't. I'm pretty sure you'll freak out. But I'm only doing it because you're that guy, you know?
What guy?
That guy! I point at him. All gorgeous. Just like the books say. Intimidating as shit, too. He's even got the hair right. The stance. The height. Width. Breadth of shoulders. So perfect. Like he just stepped out of one of those,
get out of my house, and make damn sure I never see your face again.
I jerk at his angry growl and quickly nod. I completely understand. How about a hug? Surefire way to smell him, you know? For research. Only chance I might ever have. Holding open my arms, I take another step forward. He takes another step back.
Get the fuck out of my house!
So explosive. Jeez, okay. Panty melting, too. Ugh, why do I like the difficult ones?
And take your dog shit with you.
I am! I shoot him a really nasty look and grab my bag of dog shit. I stomp away, barefoot, half-naked, horny. My face morphs from a scowl to a frown. Eyes wide, lip trembling, I give him my best poor face. Mr. Swagger? Wow, there's even a quiver in my voice. I'm so good. Do you mind if I use your dryer? My jeans got wet and... He stalks toward me on a mission. To kill me? I refuse to risk my life just for a sniff. So I jump over the couch and sprint to the door, grabbing my clothes in my haste. For a moment, I contemplate faking a fall just to see if he'll help me up. That fades when he gets within reaching distance of me. Wait! My phone! I yell before he can slam the door. He snatches my phone off the table and tosses it to me. I fumble with my boots and jacket and lunge for the damn thing. I catch it because I'm a ninja, but it still pisses me off. You're a real asshole. He slams the door, not even bothering to make eye contact as he looks down at his own phone. I throw my shoes at the door, feeling a little bit of satisfaction at the dry mud that scatters as I do. I glance at the door as I shuffle into my damp jeans and pull on my wet sneakers. It should only take seconds, but I drag it out longer. Part of me hopes he'll open the door to see if I'm still here. Even if he only does it to yell at me, I wouldn't mind seeing his face once more before I leave. Maybe I could even snap a picture. The door never opens. Disappointed, yet not at all surprised, I step into the elevator and place my nose in the corner. I try not to dwell on what will happen if the brakes on this bastard fail, and instead think about how lucky I am. He didn't call the police. He let me walk away. What would have happened had I come home and someone was in my apartment? I would have freaked. Unless, of course, my intruder looked like Jake Swagger. Then I would have forced him to have sex with me in exchange for me not dialing 911. The instant I clamber out of the death trap, I'm met with a still-pissed Alfred. He sneers, and I have to bite my cheek so I don't tell him how unattractive it is.
Mr. Swagger wants you off the premises immediately, so instead of waiting for a cab, he's instructed Ross to drive you to your hotel.
Alfred's anger makes me feel like shit. I could have cost him his job. My actions might still result in consequence for him. I'm sorry, Alfred. Truly, I never meant to get anyone in trouble. His hard gaze softens the tiniest bit. It's not much, but at least it's something. He nods once and turns on his heel. I follow him into the lobby. On the other side of the glass that stretches the front of the building, everything is white. Snow continues to fall in slanted, thick sheets. So this is what a blizzard looks like. A lesser woman might cry if she found herself in my situation. But I don't cry. Ever. Am I disheartened? Feeling a little defeated? Yes. But it's going to take more than a lot of snow and a really hot dickhead to make me cry. Alfred looks down at me, his disapproval evident. He disappears through a door, then returns with a hat and coat.
It's not the most fashionable, but it's better than what you have.
I take the offered clothes without looking at them as he picks up the phone next to the podium.
What is the name of your hotel?
I don't have a hotel. My plane leaves in 3 hours. He nods.
Ross, would you mind driving the young lady to the airport, please? Yes. Okay. Thank you.
I'm not going to the airport, Alfred. Once again, his look is disapproving, but his anger has dissipated.
You're not? You don't have very much time to do anything else.
Don't care. I came here to Chicago to do something, and I aim to do it.
Really? And what is that?
I lift the bag in my hand. Set some shit on fire. 4. I'm grateful for the hat and jacket Alfred gave me. Really, I am. But I look like an idiot. The jacket isn't a jacket at all. It's one of those floor-length trench coats that has as many pockets as it does buttons. And the hat isn't a beanie or a ball cap. It's a top hat, with fuzzy little earmuff things. Add that to my ruined boots, wet pants, and Mr. Swagger's white button-down, and I look like a damn hobo. I apologized to Ross the moment I got in the car. He responded by asking for the address to where I was going. I gave it to him, then halfway there, I realized I didn't have a lighter, or a paper bag. When I asked Ross to stop at a 7-Eleven first, he shot me an angry glare through the rearview mirror. Still, he pulled into a convenience store without a word. I didn't expect him to be there when I got out, but he was. Maybe that was his way of accepting my apology. I peel away the paper bag from the 40 and shove it in the pocket of my coat to keep it dry. When I do, something sharp stabs at my finger. It's the corner of a business card. I pull it out and study it as I chug my beer. Jake Swagger. The name looks even hotter than it sounds, embossed in silver lettering on the black card. The only other thing on the card is a number. Like the bag of shit sitting beside me, I want to set the card on fire. Instead, I bury it back in the front pocket of my coat, not because I want to remember my time with Jake Swagger, but because I can use it for my research. I'll design my That Guy's business card to look as sleek and sexy as this one. The car rolls to a stop outside Luke Duchanan's house. Ross stares straight ahead without as much as a glance in my direction, his lips pressed into a thin line. Ross, I really am sorry. I didn't mean to get anyone in trouble. You seem like a nice dude. After a moment, he clears his throat and gives a tight nod, still not meeting my eyes.
I step out and close the door. The car disappears and I'm left standing in the snow at 3 in the morning, buzzed and all alone in a big city by myself. The dark street intimidates me, but the nightlight on Luke's porch shines like a beacon, reminding me that all the shit I've been through on this trip will be worth it just to see Emily smile and retell the story to a stranger. Fuck him in a parking lot. Fall in love. Move the hell out of my apartment. I'm such a good friend. I slip and slide and almost break my neck on the icy steps. Before I make it to the top, the rest of my 40 ends up down the front of my jacket. At last on the porch, I toss the bottle over the railing, pull the paper bag out of my pocket, untie the plastic one, transfer the dog shit, and grab my lighter. The small awning over the door provides no shelter from the sheets of ice and snow that blow in sideways. So I kneel down and use my trench coat to block the wind while I set the bag on fire. The shit really catches fire. Blazing scary hot and flaming like nobody's business. I grab my phone and hit record. Then I ring the bell and bang on the door over and over and over until I hear footsteps inside and the voice of Luke Duchanan demanding that I hold the fuck on. My plan goes off without a hitch. Luke opens the door, sees the fire, stomps the bag in his fancy-ass house shoes. Then the vile fumes of the warm and toasty dog shit wafts into the air and hits the back of Luke Duchanan's throat just as he pulls in a deep breath of shock. Initiate gagging. Witnessing this grown man scream like a girl in between dry heaves and tears is greater than I imagined it would be. And I've got it all on video. And it's epic. Even I, future best-selling author extraordinaire, couldn't just make this up. I'm so entertained by the scene before me, I don't even notice the two approaching officers until they're next to me. Stuffing my phone in my pocket, I try to maneuver around them, but it's a small porch. And they're pretty big guys.
Okay, lady, come on. We've warned your kind about snooping around down here,
the cop grabbing my left arm says. Another cop grabs my right arm.
I can smell the alcohol on her. How much you had to drink tonight? You high?
He shines a light in my eyes.
Do you know this lady, ma'am?
I blink past the spots in my vision and look at the woman in the doorway. She must be the new bitch. Emily was right. She's not ugly at all. She's actually really pretty. All sweet and rich-looking in her satin robe with her perky nips trying to bust through the fabric.
No, I've never seen her before. I don't think my fiancé knows her either.
Fiancé?
I'll ask him, but I'm pretty sure she's just another bum.
May we speak to him, ma'am?
He's indisposed at the moment.
Somewhere in the house, I hear Luke retching and can't help but hide my smile. She narrows her eyes at me. Damn, she has some really great lashes. I drop my head. If she's done as much research on Emily as Emily has on her, she might recognize me from Emily's Facebook pictures. As much as I want to take credit for pulling off the oldest prank in the book, and for Luke to know it was me who caused his great freakout, I'm smart enough to know that everyone assuming I'm just some drunk bum is probably for the best. Besides, he'll know it was me when I upload the video.
We've been seeing this a lot in the neighborhood. The cold weather always brings the stragglers out of hiding. So we were patrolling the area when we saw the fire. Glad it wasn't any worse.
Yeah, me too,
the fiancé says, stretching her neck like a damn giraffe to try and get a better look at me. Leaning heavily against the cop on my right, I dip my head even lower.
We'll take her downtown and let her sober up. If you want to press charges, you need to do it before 9 tomorrow morning.
I don't think we'll be doing that.
I should be thankful, but I'm kind of pissed at her indignant tone, like I'm not worth her time. Fuck her. I'm good enough to press charges against.
Have a good day, ma'am.
I catch the officer ogling her tits and roll my eyes. He stares longer than any gentleman would, then leads me down the steps. I glance back at the pile of ash and unburned dog turd.